With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Welcome to Fantasy Football Weekly, a production of iHeartRadio.
Time now for Fantasy Football Weekly from iHeartRadio, your weekly source for the nation's best fantasy football advice, speculation, and whatever stupid stuff they decide to drop into the show. Now here's your host, Paul Charchian.
Welcome to Fantasy Football Weekly. I am Paul Charchian, and my co-host, as usual, Brian Johnson.
What's up, Charch?
Great to talk to you. We teased this subject at the end of the show last week, and that is sophomores that we think are going to improve potentially dramatically over last year. So this is not Justin Jefferson, although I think he's going to improve as well. But these are the guys who underperformed last year and we think can have a much better second year. Super sophomores, if you will. Before we dive into these guys, let me mention this. Guillotine Leagues are live at guillotineleagues.com. If you haven't already heard about Guillotine Leagues, the premise is you start the season with 18 players every week. The low-scoring team gets cut. All their players go to the waiver wire, and pandemonium ensues as a bidding frenzy takes hold for those guys.
Yes, 18 teams, because we're still getting used to the 17-week regular season.
18-week regular season.
Well, 17 games.
17-game regular season. Yes. Yeah, so it's tons of fun. We encourage you to check it out. That you can get private league support for this if you've got 17 friends who want to play. And if you don't, we've got contests you can join at all the major price points for depending on what kind of prizing you want to play for. GuillotineLeagues.com. All right, second-year rookies. So last year was a tough year to be a rookie, Brian. No OTAs, no rookie camps, no mini camps, no training camp, no preseason games. I mean, all those things working against that rookie class last year. They had the Zoom meetings in place of in-person meetings. I mean, just almost everything outside of like injury that could befall a class of rookies happened. And for some guys, it didn't matter. Justin Jefferson was great last year. And Justin Herbert was great. And there were guys that didn't matter. But for many, there's every reason to think they'll make a big jump in year two with the benefit of a season under their belt and a full offseason program.
And now some of these guys we'll talk about didn't necessarily struggle, but when you just look at their full season, you know, the landscape of their production from last season, it doesn't tell the whole story of how big a jump they could make this year.
I like it. Almost every highly drafted second-year player has got room for improvement. Most players do get better in the second year.
The one thing they had going for them last year, you had all the detractors. Mm-hmm. At least they didn't have the fans in the stands to tell them how much they were struggling.
How bad they were.
Yeah.
They were getting booed by their own home fans.
Depends how south of the Mason-Dixon line you were, but.
So most of them, I don't think there's any need to say for any of these guys, Brian, you know, there's room for them to get better in year two. There's room for all these guys to get better in year two, but we're going to build a case for about like 15 guys here that we think all have the potential to take a big step up in year two. Okay, I'll go first with a rookie that I think has got a lot of room for improvement and can get better in year two. That is Gabriel Davis, Buffalo wide receiver. His current ADP is round 12, wide receiver 60. So, you know, you're going to get him at a real value. And I like to – he took a big jump over Buffalo's bye week in week 11. Right. Coming out of the bye, his snaps per game jumped by 21.
And that helped – with injuries to John Brown, who's gone now,
he's gone. Yep.
And Cole Beasley, who's somewhat healthy.
Yeah, but Beasley's a slot guy, I don't think that'll affect him a lot here. After the bye week, his targets for Gabriel Davis jumped from 3 per game to 5 per game. His yards doubled from 28 per game to 54 per game. His touchdowns per game doubled from 0.3 to 0.7. 0.7 touchdowns per game is a 10-touchdown year. That's a double-digit touchdown season that Gabriel Davis was posting from week 12 forward. He was the starter in every Buffalo game after the bye, and his average line for Gabriel Davis, again, after the bye, 3 catches, 54 yards, and at the 0.7 touchdowns I mentioned, that was good enough for, he was wide receiver 30 after the bye as a rookie.
For the air attack Buffalo Bills.
For the Buffalo Bills, a team that passes all the time. There are really no blockers to starting time. I mean, there's Stephon Diggs who's going to be a starter, and it's going to be him.
Emmanuel Sanders at all?
Nope. Sanders will be in the mix, but no way are they giving him an aging journeyman veteran reps over Davis.
Decomposing corpse territory.
I do.
Emmanuel Sanders.
I do. I think he's going to be a guy when you need 11 yards and you need somebody to just catch the ball that you throw to him. That is going to be Emmanuel Sanders. Gabriel Davis. So he's my first guy. Who is your second-year sophomore that you think can do better next year?
Well, I got no quarterbacks. It might have been Jordan Love, but Aaron Rodgers is still in town. So nothing to mention at the quarterback position. And sadly, I'm not going to mention Jalen Reagor. And the Eagles might want me to, but I don't see a jump from Reagor. It could be a decline, as sad as that may be. Mm-hmm. So the first guy I want to talk about is Brandon Ayuk of the 49ers, who is already getting drafted as a top 25 wide receiver. He's going right in the Kenny Galladay, Cooper Kupp, Jamar Chase, who was a rookie range, which is justified. But if he can replicate his epic 6-game stretch he had last year, starting in like week 6 or 7, where he averaged 11 targets, 7.5 catches, 94 yards per game.
Dang.
He had 4 touchdowns.
And that's massive.
During that span with Jimmy Garoppolo and...
A cast of characters. C.J. Beathard, and yes.
So people are expecting the leap. He's getting drafted as a wide receiver, too, but there's competition, of course. Debo Samuel's there, George Kittle, and Jimmy Garoppolo, rookie Trey Lance at quarterback. But still, he's going to make that leap, but he could go beyond bottom-tier wide receiver 2 to top-tier wide receiver 2, lower-tier wide receiver 1 territory. Pretty easily.
I think he's got that.
And if you watch him play, he's a freak of nature, like all across the board.
And very different from Debo Samuel. Samuel is yard after catch guy. You throw a bubble screen to him. He's so strong. He'll break a tackle and get you some yards. Ayuk is your big play, splashy downfield receiver. And Trey Lance has a cannon. Mm-hmm. I love the potential of that connection for years to come.
I hope we see Trey Lance sooner than later. That's all.
I hope we see him when the time is right. Offensive system that I think they'll get that right. The next sophomore I want to talk about is Buffalo running back Zach Moss. Current ADP is round 9. Running back 42, and you get the lead back for an NFL team. Last year, he was a bust, and that hurt me grievously because I had championed his cause and I was mostly wrong.
Nearly as big a Bobo as you are for Zach Moss.
The reasons he was a bust last year were opportunity and losing rushing touchdowns to his quarterback. The team barely ran at all last year, and Zach Moss only averaged 8 rushes per game.
Buffalo threw 75% of the time at minimum.
It wasn't quite that, but I might have it in my notes here. He never had more than 14 touches in any game, Zach Moss. So opportunity really hurt him. Buffalo didn't draft a running back, which suggests that they are confident in his improvement. And remember, he set every meaningful Utah rushing record. Zach Moss did. Built to score touchdowns at 230 pounds, but Josh Allen ran the ball 11 times from inside the 5. 11. Only Cam Newton among quarterbacks had more rushing attempts inside the 5 than Josh Allen did. Eventually, almost all quarterbacks stop running the ball. It's part of the progression of keeping your quarterback upright, and maybe that'll happen this year with Allen, and maybe they'll start dialing back some of that running. And then there's Devin Singletary, who just isn't a very good runner, and they could phase him out of the running game in particular almost entirely. So if you believe Moss gets better, you think that Josh Allen's not going to run the ball 11 times inside the five. If you think Devin Singletary's not that good, there's your window for Zach Moss to improve on his current ADP. Running
I really
back 42.
Hope you're right, and I'm right there with you. And yeah. I was a little high.
It's about I'm going to guess it's about 68% for Buffalo.
It was 62 on the season, but the last five games, it was 70%.
Oh, all right.
Which is incredibly high for any team, especially Buffalo over the past 10 years, right?
Correct. Okay, Brian, who is your next sophomore?
I'm going with the wide receiver of the Los Angeles Rams, Van Jefferson, who they sunk a lot of draft capital into.
They did.
57th overall pick.
Year, and they jettisoned Josh Reynolds, which is fairly significant here.
And they signed DeSean Jackson, which I'm assuming he's in a walking boot already. So I'm going to call Jefferson the wide receiver three right now, basically. Mm-hmm. And an injury to the big two, Robert Woods or Cooper Kupp, opens up a huge door of opportunity for Jefferson on an offense that is upgraded significantly with Matthew Stafford, now the quarterback, over Jared Goff. Now, Jefferson, who has good size, by the way, 6'2", 200-plus pounds, saw at least five targets in only four games last year. One was in the divisional round against Green Bay. But he had at least four catches in each game, and he caught six, including a touchdown in that playoff game against the Packers. So he's proven to be an able receiver if given the volume. So, and again, he was a rookie last year. Not all wide receiver rookies pop off.
Right. Most don't.
He's got the pedigree, and right now in best ball redraft, he's going wide receiver 83 with Marquez Valdez-Scantling and Tyrell Williams and Amari Rodgers. That's the Packers cast-offs. I love the upside for Van Jefferson at the discount you get him at.
So, yep. I'm with you on that. Stafford is going to – I think the Rams are a sneaky Super Bowl team.
Yeah.
And Stafford's going to make that offense much better.
And Jefferson's a guy you might find in your dynasty rookie drafts who just got cast off after last year. A guy
somebody's going to drop – their teams are going to drop him out.
Depends how deep your league is, but definitely.
Yep. The next sophomore I want to talk about is Jets wide receiver Denzel Mims. His current ADP is the 14th round wide receiver 79, so he's in that same Van Jefferson range, Brian. Mm-hmm. You'll remember that Mims had a triple whammy last year. Like all rookies, he missed the whole preseason. Then he suffered a hamstring injury that cost him the first 6 weeks of the season. And then, of course, the third whammy, Adam Gase. When Mims did play, he started, but he wasn't terribly effective. He did not score a touchdown last year. Remember, he was the first pick of the second round of the deepest wide receiver draft in a generation. And he would have been the first wide receiver taken in some years' drafts in all probability. Tall and rangy with a massive catch radius, very fast. He'll be catching passes from Zach Wilson, who appears to be pretty NFL ready, and Wilson throws a great deep ball, and that was much of Mims' success at Baylor. It's a crowded wide receiver field right now. Corey Davis and Keelan Cole and Jamison Crowder. But Mims has got a pedigree that none of those guys really have. And so he's got a ton of room to improve here. I don't love Denzel Mims, and I think this conversation might be better in 2022 than 2021, but this he almost by default will get better this year.
He has the potential to, I think, be the best wide receiver in this draft class in a few years. He's not gone off to the best start.
That would take a lot.
I know it's a crazy.
That'd take a lot.
I know it would. I know it would. I know there's Justin Jefferson. I know.
But, right. He's CeeDee Lamb.
He was not in a good spot last year, and it's still a great spot, but skill set wise, I think.
If Zach Wilson is requisite of the number two pick overall, then Denzel Mims can grow with him.
Let me say one of the best.
All right. That might be a little more.
Small potential.
A little more sane right there. Let's take a break. When we come back, we've got more sophomores we think can have a significant growth spurt this year.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bissell Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Welcome back, Fantasy Football Weekly. We're talking about sophomores that we think are in a position to have a far better season next year. I think if you're redraft or dynasty, this is a very salient conversation.
I thought of the title of the show just now during the break. What's Sophomore that? Slump Busters.
I kind of like it. Sophomore. Let me write that down. Slump Busters. Okay. So done. That'll be the title of the show.
I did it.
All right, we've done it. Jaguars wide receiver Laviska Shenault.
Is it Shenault?
It's Shenault. I found out. We've been calling him Shenault.
I am this day
it's
is
Shenault.
Old.
Yeah, wow. You're this moment old. Yeah. I'm learning. Wow. Laviska Shenault. Current ADP is the 9th round wide receiver 40. He gets a massive quarterback improvement going from the combination of Mike Lennon, Gardner Minshew, and Jake Luton. Remember him?
Oh, yeah.
To Trevor Lawrence, the first player taken in the draft.
He's Luton free now.
I love it. You may have forgotten Laviska Shenault scored 4 times in the final 5 weeks of last year. From week 12 forward, Laviska Shenault was wide receiver 22 last year.
He was a Shenault stopper.
Oh, that's pretty good, too. That's excellent.
It's heating up in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm. Keelan Cole, as I mentioned earlier, now with the Jets, stole a lot of his work from the slot last year. Cole's gone.
He's gone.
He leaves behind 534 snaps, Keelan Cole does. Shenault's going to be on the field constantly. Remember, he was a second-round pick last year. He's a jack-of-all-trades type. Yep. They run him a bit. There's a lot to like about Laviska Shenault. Yeah, number two.
He's very much a Curtis Samuel in the making, for sure.
I think you're right. All right, who's your next sophomore slump buster?
Now, a couple months ago, this guy was going to bust all the slumps because he was going to be the starting running back for the Packers, and that's A.J. Dillon, because we all assumed Green Bay was going to let Aaron Jones walk after failing to let him run year after year, but they re-signed Jones, so a little bit of a pullback on A.J. Dillon.
Yeah. I'm one of those dynasty owners that was counting on that.
But regardless, he's an absolute monster, and it's not a one-trick pony, and this is going to run you over. He does have some wiggle. He can catch the ball. He's got a lot of potential, and he figures to factor at the goal line this year at the very least.
You'd hope so. And his size demands it.
He didn't have a ton of opportunities last year, but if you really look into his 2 carries inside the 5,
yeah,
he had 9 yards. Okay. So he basically took every yard that was given to him in those 2 opportunities. No one, and he scored on one of them.
All right.
4 carries for 16 yards inside the 10. So he's a force inside the gold zone, the infrared zone, whatever we call it. But Aaron Jones, clearly a blocker. I still think Dillon takes a significant leap from last year. They're still going to want to spell Jones at times, especially now that they've paid him, right?
Yeah.
And going
and they will. They always do. Jones is never a workhorse. And, you know, with Jamal Williams gone, all that extra work's going to go to Dillon.
Yeah, I'm with you. And right now, Dillon's lumped in. He's like RB33-ish, right, with Leonard Fournette, Ronald Jones, Raheem Mostert, David Johnson, Kenyon Drake. Give me Dillon over those guys all day long, just based on, like, of course, 1 injury to Aaron Jones, and
yeah, that's it.
It's to the moon for Dillon. So expect we're not going to get the production we were hoping for.
Right.
Most likely.
We're not going to get starters production.
No, but he will see a significant increase in touches, one would hope.
I think he's A.J. Dillon shaping up as a flex level running back this year. The player who has turned the most heads in Broncos OTAs, Jerry Jeudy.
It's not Jeudy?
It's not Jeudy.
Okay.
No, that's Laviska Shenault.
Jerry Jeudy?
Jerry Jeudy. UD. I like it. Current ADP is the eighth round. He's wide receiver 37. His solid rookie season, I think, has been overlooked by many, Brian. He had 52 catches, 850 yards and three touchdowns, despite really inconsistent quarterbacking in Denver. He was held back by drops. He had 12 drops last year.
I saw, I don't have the exact stat, but a lot of his drops or incompletions were accounted to the court, to Drew Lock, essentially. They weren't really his fault. Trying, like, they were sort of
catchable,
drops,
but yeah, I would not be surprised by that.
Yeah.
I think there's a 60-40 chance Teddy Bridgewater's the starter. Mm-hmm. You know, Teddy has many deficiencies, which longtime listeners know how I feel about it, but he does catch he throws a very catchable short pass. And so there's that for Judy. Hopefully it'll be more accurate here. He'll also be helped, I think, by the return of Cortland Sutton, which will mean he will not need to carry so much of the burden of the receivers group, and he will not receive as much coverage because Cortland Sutton is on the field. Also, there's a chance Aaron Rodgers is throwing balls to Jerry Jeudy.
Still a chance.
That is possible here. Remember, he was a first-round pick. He has got fantastic footwork, a great yard after catch at Alabama. So, yeah, Jerry Jeudy is my next sophomore slump buster. Who is your next sophomore slump buster?
We're going to the tight end position. It's Kmet of the Chicago Bears, who was the 43rd overall pick last year in the second round.
High draft equity right there.
A lot of draft capital there. And the Bears were one of seven teams last year that got double-digit touchdowns from their tight ends. Mm. Yes, Jimmy Graham accounted for seven or eight of those, but he's still on roster. But talk about decomposing corpses. Graham is decomposing more by the day. He's going to be goal line package guy, most likely not going to factor between the 20s, which isn't great for Kmet.
Well, Graham could get cut.
He's definitely not guaranteed to be on roster.
Given his salary and age and everything else, yeah.
They drafted him to be tight end of the future for sure, drafting him in the second round last year. And Chicago also top 12 in tight end catches last year. So there's a nice role for Kmet waiting this year. And there's an upgraded quarterback either way, whether it's Justin Fields or Andy Dalton over Mitch Trubisky or Nick Foles. So Chicago utilizes their tight end. And if I'm investedly heavy to if I'm invested heavily at tight end,
yes,
like drafting a Travis Kelce or Darren Waller, Kmet's the guy I'm looking at.
You're just
going
sit out.
Tight end 18 right now. He's going right after your boy, Janu, but he's right there with Gronk and Austin Hooper. Give me Kmet's upside here. I like what we're going to see out of him in his year two.
All right. My next sophomore slump buster is Raiders wide receiver Henry Ruggs. ADP is round 10, wide receiver 51. Remember, he was the first wide receiver taken in the draft 2 years ago, and a disastrous season unfolded for him. Despite starting 12 games, he never caught more than three passes in a game, and he only scored two times. Do you remember either of his two touchdowns off the top of your head?
The one was total BS to beat the Jets.
That's exactly right. You remember it. That's right. It was the 5 seconds left on the clock.
Like, just don't let him get behind you. That's
the ball's
all
on the 46-yard line. They have to go 46 yards to with a touchdown to score, and Greg Williams dials up a blitz. Dumbest call history of football, maybe, and it ended up being a disaster for the Jets.
At the time, it was one of the
Henry Ruggs touchdowns.
At the time, it was one of the smartest, though, right? Because they were probably still
trying to lose,
undefeated at the time, right? Yeah. Not undefeated, but undefeated. Yeah. Then who did they beat? That doesn't matter. But yeah.
So Ruggs walks in this year, and they let half of the receivers go. Tyrell Williams is gone. Nelson Aguilar is gone. So he's wide receiver one on this team. Listen to the other receivers on the Raiders: Zay Jones, Bryan Edwards, who was somehow even worse than Ruggs last year, Hunter Renfrow, who plays the slot, and John Brown. That's it. I mean, Ruggs, with his pedigree, he is wide receiver one on a team led by Derek Carr, who was shockingly productive last year. He threw 27 touchdowns and 4,100 yards. 27 touchdowns, they're not all going to Darren Waller next year. So with that, if you think Derek Carr is going to be around that 27 touchdown range, and you think Waller is going to count for 12 of them, right? We still have 15 unaccounted touchdowns that got to go somewhere. How about his number one wide receiver, Henry Ruggs?
It better go to Ruggs. Again, drafted over Jerry Jeudy, CeeDee Lamb,
yeah,
Justin Jefferson.
I know. We hated that. We hated that draft pick. When it happened live, we did not like that draft pick. It was a mistake for sure, but Ruggs has got massive room for improvement, and we'll have the opportunity, which is half of it. Okay, your next guy.
Another tight end, and you know, most rookie tight ends don't produce, so we look at them in year two. Hopefully Kyle Pitts breaks that mold. We won't go there right now. And it's Adam Trautman of the Saints, who was a high draft pick by New Orleans last year, the 105th overall pick. That's a third-round pick. And Jared Cook, he gone. Trautman,
he gone.
Troutman's the guy. And right now he's lumped right with Kmet and ADP at tight end 20, going right after Hooper and Gronk, and like I said, Kmet right in that range. And
yeah,
only 16 targets last year, not a ton of tape on Trautman. Only one went incomplete though, and I'm gonna assume it was Taysom Hill's fault on that one. So
that's safe.
I don't know, he's the starting tight end for the Saints, who have historically utilized their tight ends in that offense. There's question marks at quarterback, but I don't, there's a tight end 12, tight end 15 upside with Trautman if he sees the 80-100 targets requisite of getting you there. So I got my eye on Adam Trautman in late rounds too. If you're, again, either going to just back up an elite tight end, or if you're just going to dumpster dive and, you know, hoard three of these guys in the late teens, early 20s, Troutman's a guy to keep your eye on. But I got to finish this by saying keep your eye on Dan Arnold more than Adam Trautman.
Of course,
who's going way later than both of these guys still? I don't get it, but someday the world will catch up.
All right. His own teams don't seem to share that thought, as he's on his third team in 3 years.
I will have my day.
All right. I've got two guys that I think are very obvious, so I've left them to the end here. And I don't think you have any left. I think you're done.
No.
Am I right?
Yep.
Yes. Okay. Chiefs running back Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I think most people think, like I do, by the way, ADP is the third round running back, 17. It's almost impossible for a Chiefs running back to be as anemic of a fantasy producer as Clyde Edwards-Helaire was last year. He only scored in four games during the regular season. He only topped 100 total yards twice, and that was week one and week three when we still thought he was going to be a top 10 running back. Weirdly underutilized in the passing game, despite being a very good pass-catching running back. He caught 0, 1, or 2 passes in half of his games. That was disappointing. And then he battled injury and ended up missing a month of time at the end of the year, as people remembered, into the playoffs. So here's Kansas City. They were number one in offensive touchdowns 2 years ago. They were number eight last year. They're averaging 3.2 offensive touchdowns per game last year. 3.2. And as great as Patrick Mahomes is, if your offense is averaging 3.2 touchdowns per game, shouldn't one of those three go to your lead running back in a typical offense?
One would think.
One would think.
I was an English major, not great with math, but I think that math adds
Doesn't it feel about right? I mean, I know Mahomes is, you know, like three passing touchdowns a game, but even then, some of those should go to the running back too. So I think his diminutive size caps his upside for Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but it still feels like he's got room to improve on his ADP of RB17. And the last guy I'll mention is another one that's obvious that I think most people already think is going to be much better in year two, and that's Baltimore running back J.K. Dobbins, because he was so good at the end of last year. Current ADP is round three, running back 15. Dobbins' owner's frustrated with that split time between Ingram and Gus Edwards, but Ingram's gone, and they didn't replace him with anybody who's going to steal carries. It's going to be Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins. Gus Edwards, by the way, going really far too low, too. Last year's three-headed monster is down to a two-headed monster. That's, you know, we can manage that a little bit. Dobbins surged down the stretch of his rookie year, scoring in seven straight games, including the playoffs, to finish things up. And that's why he's being pressed up to the third round right now. When he was given at least 13 carries last year, his average game, 93 rushing yards, one touchdown per game, and 6.6 yards per carry. Again, those are in games in which he had at least 13 carries. When you give J.K. Dobbins just the 13 carries, which isn't even close to like the 20 a lead back would get, he still produces gigantic numbers. So, you know, the Ravens are always going to be run heavy, and Lamar Jackson opens up a lot of things for his running backs. So, J.K. Dobbins, I know a lot of people are already on Helaire and Dobbins, and they barely warrant a mention here, but I still wanted to get them in.
Yeah, and guys that people are on and names you probably didn't hear in this podcast, like Jalen Hurts, CeeDee Lamb, Justin Jefferson, Antonio Gibson, all second-year players.
All of them to get better.
Could get better.
They're already good.
They're household names,
yep,
quote-unquote, right? Good. So yep. We didn't really touch on them too
totally
much.
Agree.
And Tyler Johnson, I was hoping to mention Tyler Johnson, wide receiver for the Bucks, but they just re-signed Antonio Brown recently. So
that makes it tough.
Might have to wait another year for Tyler Johnson.
I thought about Damian Harris, but that Ramondre Stevenson is a real blocker for him. I thought about Donovan Peoples-Jones, the Cleveland wide receiver, and mentioning him because he did show some signs of life at the end of the year, but he doesn't get to get starters reps. I don't think so.
I got one more three named wide receiver, Antonio Gandy Golden.
That's deep.
He's got bumped down that depth chart pretty well.
He did
in the offseason. We'll see though.
Ryan Fitzpatrick's going to help that whole offense.
I'm excited. I don't like rooting for the Washington team, but that offense is going to be exciting.
You just don't. I mean, it's one thing to say you don't want the good things to happen to their owner. That fan base has been through the ringer, man. They deserve good things. Mm. You know, they've had to live with Dan Snyder for 20 years as their owner. They deserve good things to happen.
I used to live out there and I interacted with a lot of that fan base, so I beg to differ.
But
there's some good ones in there. Yeah.
We encourage you to check out guillotineleagues.com, where we are now forming Guillotine Leagues, and our associated podcast is called Chop. We will be into regular CHOP rotation for podcasting beginning next week, and we're looking forward to that. And so we encourage you to join both of those. Thank you for subscribing to this podcast, listening along every week, spreading the message of Fantasy Football Weekly, and we'll talk to you next week, everybody. Bye-bye.
Fantasy Football Weekly is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen.
It's up, it's up.
And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way.
It's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.